Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live from the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on the Fan and simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Wednesday morning. Yesterday, a huge local baseball day. You had the Cano Diaz press conference. You had Brody Van Wagenen speaking to the media. Jeff Wilpon speaking to the media. You had the Yankees losing out on Patrick Corbin as the free agent pitcher decides to sign with the Washington Nationals for a longer, more lucrative deal than what the Yankees were offering. And then last night, more rumors flying around as Brody was not messing around. In that press conference, he said that this was not the last move. He wasn't going to make this move and then stop. He said a lot of stuff, including words aren't good enough. So he says a bunch of stuff and then says words aren't good enough. And I really believe he's starting to back these things up as the Mets are now linked again to JT Realmuto, catcher for the Marlins, and names like Ahmed Rosario and Michael Conforto and Brandon Nimmo being tossed around in that trade. This is going to be one crazy offseason around here. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Mets won, Yankees nothing, baby. That's what I can tell you. Mets have been on in the back pages as of late, and good for Brody Wagenen and good for the message that he sent out yesterday to all Mets fans, I think. There will still be those Met fans that don't like this deal, but at the end of the day, you know, he's doing it. He's moving and shaking. So that all I could ask for is that as a Met fan, not to see the same thing that I saw last year. And guess what? It's not going to be the same thing, which is great. This is exactly why I'm thinking that, you know, Jeff Wilpon and Fred Wilpon went this way. They wanted a guy out of the box that was going to think outside the box and everything else. And at the end of the day, that's exactly what's happening. So, look, Met fans, you can sit here, you can criticize, you can ridicule, you can do whatever the hell you want. But what you can't criticize is the fact that he's doing something and he's making your team, our team, relevant again. And he's trying to do it in a lot of different ways. So this is just the beginning, as we've been saying. We won't know the totality of all the decisions he's making until we get to spring training. And until then, let's enjoy the hot stove league for once that we actually are active and we are trying to make things happen.
Yeah, and the one thing that remains to be seen is how much leeway he's been given with the payroll and what that means for free agency. Because I know he's active in the trade market. We've already seen that. You've got another rumor out there with Realmuto. I'm not as optimistic that that gets done because I know they don't want to part with major league pieces that are core guys, as Brody said. And that's what the Marlins are going to want back. And they've also talked about from the Marlins aspect that they'd prefer not to trade him in the division. So I think there's a lot of hurdles to get over to get that deal done. But Brody said that, you know, Jerry DePoto said no a million times with this Mariners deal, and he kept going after him and going after him and going after him. So I won't put it past Brody to get the deal done. I just think it's going to be very difficult. But I just don't know where the Mets after the trade market are going to go in free agency. Met fans all yesterday, of course, on Twitter, and we were talking about this, starting to dream a little bit about Bryce Harper. I'm still not going to rule that stuff out because I think this guy is capable of just about anything so far. But maybe that route that you brought up with the A.J. Pollock signing, potentially, that being your center fielder. I don't love that, but I don't know. It seems maybe because Brody was on MLB Network something or other yesterday, and A.J. Pollock was brought up, and he said, yes, we've been in contact with his agent. This is a guy who, you know, would fit what we're trying to do.
Financially and fit and everything else. Okay, good. So here we go. We're on our way, and yesterday I thought maybe the only interesting thing that really came out of yesterday for me that made me kind of like perk up a little bit was the fact that Jeff Wilpon didn't think that, you know, Robinson Cano is like a steroid cheat.
Yeah, well,
I mean,
he said he's not.
They didn't want to talk about it and all this other stuff. Of course, they don't want to talk about it. But I don't know what to tell you. There's probably more guys like him than there are less guys like him. So
I mean, it's the opening press conference. I mean, I think Jeff Wilpon would rather deal with the fallout from everybody when he says that I don't believe he's a drug cheat, as opposed to during the introductory press conference, the owner of his new team saying, yeah, I think he's a drug cheat. Right? I mean, what route do you have to go with that? Like, I don't know. Have his back, put it behind you, hope that it doesn't happen again, and hope that he produces. Right? Seriously.
True. You're right.
I mean, this is, we're going to sit there and ask questions about it. Yeah, this is a guy who's an aging player who's got a huge contract to.
And he was suspended.
Right. And he came back after the suspension, right, by the way, and hit.
Yes, but come on, you have to admit, and I think all Met fans have to admit, you'd rather see it going down this path than doing nothing. And sitting there and waiting and waiting and waiting. I just feel like listening to Brody Van Wagenen, who, by the way, was better yesterday. You know, he's not as nervous now. He's kind of settled in a little bit. He's made some really key additions to this team, additions that will not show themselves up on the field, so to speak. They're more front office and, of course, Riggleman. But this is the first foray into what I hope is going to be a very exciting offseason and bring some a hope to us Met fans that believe that we do have a top-ended pitching staff. And maybe also what came out of this yesterday, now all of a sudden there was the thought that maybe Noah Syndergaard will not be traded.
Yeah, there was a lot of quotes surrounding that, saying that because he made the win-now move, which is something that we talked about once that trade was finalized, that you better not be trading Noah Syndergaard for prospects. So he said it's less likely that he is traded now because of this move that they made. And if anything, he's going to look to add to the current staff as opposed to reworking the current staff. The Realmuto stuff is really interesting, though, because it seems like they are very focused, and Brody is very focused on getting that deal done. So if that means that, now also in this reporting last night from the beat reporters, it was that Michael Conforto is a guy that they don't want to trade in this deal.
I wouldn't want to trade him or Nimmo if I didn't have to.
Well, the three guys that were mentioned were Nimmo, Conforto, and Rosario, and building the package around those guys. So, you know, you don't want to give up any one of them. However, if you're going to sell me on the fact that you're going to trade one of the outfielders and then go out in free agency and bring in and upgrade that position with somebody, then sure. You know, and I would absolutely love to believe that if they go and trade Nimmo or Conforto for J.P. Realmuto, that they'll go out and sign Bryce Harper. I mean, or it's probably end up being Pollock. I mean, as much as I want to hope, and I'm going to continue to hope, and I'm going to continue to connect the dots and hope that it happens with Bryce Harper and hope that I see something out there that Brody's in on it. Or if they trade Ahmed Rosario, they go out and sign Manny Machado. I would hope that that would be the plan. I just don't know, you know. And the questions about the payroll, the answers are all ambiguous about it. It's all about, so where is the payroll? How much leeway do you have? You know, people were asking those direct questions yesterday after the main part of the press conference was over, which, again, went like 10 minutes. Like, it was unbelievable. The main part of the press conference went like 10 minutes, and then they broke into
that. That was bothersome. I mean, but, you know, you got to count on the reporters who are doing the one-on-ones to get you the information. Eventually, they'll get it to you.
And they did. And that's when the questions were asked about the payroll, and he said, well, we know the parameters we're working in, but there isn't a hard number. And if we feel like we
can go to
a certain place, we're going to be able to go to that. It just seems like Jeff Wilpon and Fred Wilpon are in love with the job that Brody Van Wagenen is doing right now. They absolutely are in love with it.
2 months into this.
Dude, they love, like Jeff said yesterday, he hasn't seen a guy this motivated in a long time.
Good.
All that's good. So that's why I still have hope that he can convince them to make the huge splash. It may not happen. I know everybody's got reasons why it won't happen, but I'm still going to hold out hope there. And if he goes out and gets Realmuto and uses one of those guys that are core young guys, either in the infield or the outfield, I mean, the next step is to go and make that splash in free agency to replace the guy that you traded. And then all of a sudden, you've got a team that is ready to contend for this year and every year, like Brody Van Wagenen said.
Oh, and you have a closer. Oh,
yes.
That's a very important aspect. That's
right.
A very important part of your baseball team.
Yeah.
And he's still got to fill in some of this, middle relief and stuff like that. And he probably has to, you know, still decide, you know, what is he doing at catcher. To me, that seems like it takes center stage.
Right? Yeah, I would agree. You know, and he's doing stuff like, all right, he's upgrading the offense because we know the offense was brutal last year. He's going out in the bullpen. We've been watching these bullpens that the Mets have trotted out there now for too long, be too bad. He went out and addressed that. I mean, we were screaming about the catcher last year. It's funny. I mean, this is a guy who was watching from afar.
And he's probably listening, hearing Met fans bitch and complain about certain
and
players.
And he's jumping
in
right
situation.
In.
Sure.
He's jumping right in and fixing all these things, or at least trying to fix all these things we've talked about. Now, Brody said a lot of stuff that I like, and so far the actions have been there as far as the trade that he already made and all the other rumors he's connected to. But another theme that he has is, you know, I didn't come here to just stand pat. This is New York. We're a number one market team. Like,
that's
he's
right.
saying these things. So that's why I find it hard to believe that Brody Van Wagenen is going to let some of these big-ticket guys go to places that are very close to the Mets, meaning there's already one down. Patrick Corbin went to the Nationals. Now, the Phillies lost out on Corbin. They're pissed off, and they want to spend money. They said, their general manager said, that he wanted to spend stupidly this offseason. They're going to spend money. So, now you have Manny Machado, Bryce Harper. Is Brody going to sit there saying all that stuff and watch maybe the Yankees get Machado, the Phillies get Harper, the Nationals get Corbin, the two teams in the division, the team in your city?
Can I ask you a question?
Of course, Boomer.
Are they paying or giving Jacob deGrom a contract extension?
I don't think so.
Okay, so don't forget, you know, he is arbitration eligible. He's going to get a big raise. So don't forget that that money is going to
be spent on
one of your own players. Now, the interesting thing is that I think Washington has $78 million tied up in three pitchers,
mm-hmm.
which is pretty amazing when you think about it.
Well, three really good pitchers.
Well, the Mets have three really good pitchers, maybe even four.
Yeah, right. And Corbin is a guy, and from the Yankees' perspective, you know, it was sort of split. I think a lot of people liked the idea of Paxton and Corbin and those two lefties in Yankee Stadium.
They just didn't want to give him a 6-year of a deal.
And I don't blame him because this guy came off a really good year last year. But, I mean, you're talking about
it's the Yankee money. They got money. They should have paid him.
Well, see, I don't know.
I mean, I know they're trying to hold fast and this is what their new tact is. And we're not going over 5 years and all that other stuff. That's great. But who cares? It's their money. I don't care.
No,
you want to make your team better? You want to beat the Red Sox? You know, this is where if you have the resources, you spend them and you use them.
Well, I got to see where else this money goes because if they have a bigger plan, I don't blame. Like Patrick Corbin would have been a really
they
nice.
They lost out on Scherzer the same way.
Yeah, that's a better example.
It seems like the Nationals. Boy, I'll tell you what, they step up. They spend some money.
Right. Like a number one market team. I would agree. I just don't
who
think
is
that
the number one market team.
Well, you got the Yankees at the top, and the Mets should be right behind them. Boomer, they should be right behind
them. I'm just pointing it out. That's all.
Yeah, I know. I just
so
don't
now,
know if Corbin is Corbin the guy that you break the bank on.
J-Hap, Valdi. So now we're gonna go like taking a boop. Washington did. Philadelphia wanted him.
Sure.
And so did the Yankees.
I can't believe that the
Yankees lost out to the Nationals.
Yeah.
And they probably would have lost out to the Phillies too. It's a little bit embarrassing.
No.
A little bit.
I don't think it's embarrassing at all.
I don't know. I think it kind of is.
Well, you know what I did hear yesterday?
Oh, what'd you hear yesterday?
Bryce Harper's
coming to the Mets?
No. I never, okay. I told you that was a baseball gods thing.
Okay.
It wasn't a hearing thing. So, but the Madison Bumgarner trade market is starting to heat up.
It's percolating.
So if you're going to tell me that the Yankees can be in on that, you can take your Patrick Corbin and you can shove it. And if the Yankees...
Okay. Take your Patrick Corbin and shove it.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, the Yankees wanted him. They offered him a 5-year deal.
Right, but you know how this stuff works. Come on. They said this is Patrick Corbin who's hit the free agent market at a really good time, and we don't believe that we're going to give him 6 years and we can use this money in other places, and I think that they will. You know, and I don't know. And they also made the James Paxton deal, which is a huge part of this. It's not like they were in some sort of desperate spot to get a lefty at the top of the rotation. Brian Cashman wanted to add two pitchers. He'll add another one, whether it comes in.
It's probably going to be J-Hap or Eovaldi.
Right.
One of those
or it could be Corey Kluber, or it could be Madison Bumgarner. It could be one of those guys, too. It could be. But I wonder if this is the domino that starts knocking the other ones over to say, all right, we lost out on him. Now we're annoyed by this, and now the money, you're going to start seeing us step up and make some moves that maybe we weren't planning to make prior to this. I don't know, and we'll see. And that might mean Manny Machado, or it might not. But I don't think that the Yankees, because of the Paxton deal, I don't think the Yankees are freaking out over this, because they would have probably matched that deal if they hadn't traded for Paxton, and they thought maybe they could get a discount because this guy was a Yankee fan and he was an upstate New York guy and everything else, and he wasn't willing to do that.
So much for that.
Yeah, it didn't work out.
I love the Yankees. His brother loves the Yankees, but you know, listen, if it's your life and you got your one shot at it, you're going to take the extra year. That's all there is to it. It's not his fault. I mean, it's just I think anybody in his situation would have done the same thing.
Yeah, I don't blame either side. I really don't. So, you know, and I just, with all this, I'm glad the Mets are at least in the discussions with these things, because, you know, if it was just Phillies, Nationals, and Yankees, that's all we were hearing, and the Mets weren't doing some stuff, it would be extra frustrating. But Brody's involved. I just don't know what level he's involved.
Well, you know, here's the thing. He's basically, it's been out there. I'm not saying anything that anybody doesn't know, but he's basically saying, or they are saying, the media, that Nemo's going to be the centerpiece for a trade for a real Moto. So now we're starting going down that road. Starting to feel real again, right? That feels real to me.
Yeah, it does. And, you know, that's a guy that became a fan favorite very, very quickly. But JT Realmuto is a big-time player. And it's sort of how you replace Nimmo, too.
Could you imagine getting a closer who had 57 saves and getting Realmuto as your starting catcher? I mean, that would be a hell of an offseason just in itself.
Yeah, and I don't think that he would stop there either. I mean, I think because there's so many other holes, you'd have to now get an outfielder or two because of the Nimmo trade.
You know what really sucks? David Wright has to, you know, take a spot on the 40-man roster, and they also have Cespedes hurt, and they're gonna, you know, they were talking about the insurance on those two players.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that they're trying to come to some sort of agreement with David Wright, but I don't know. David Wright's not going to take any less money.
Yeah, I mean, those are the things that could really help the Mets out in the spending, is squeezing every penny out of both of those insurance deals.
Yeah, but it's also the spot on the roster for David Wright. I mean, he has to be on the 40-man roster. I mean, right. I can't believe that a guy has a career-ending injury and you have to put him on the 40-man roster. I don't get that. I mean, there should be some, like, you know, the guy is not playing. You're not trying to hide a guy. You're not trying to keep a guy in your system just to keep him in your system. The guy's got a career-ending injury.
Yeah, right. I know. It's crazy. It's you're never going to see him play again.
That's what I'm saying.
You said goodbye last year. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand
that mechanism. Like, when you know, and it's obviously medically proven that the guy can't play anymore, why is he a part of it?
I don't know. I don't have an answer for you, Boomer. I really don't.
But that's just one of those things where it make you go,
Things that make you go,
Right? By the way, you see all the stuff coming out of Green Bay?
All the stuff coming out of Green Bay.
So Winston Moss is a former player for them. I played against him. He was also an assistant head coach on the Green Bay Packers staff. And so Mark Chmura, the former tight end who played with Brett Favre, and he's also the guy who got in trouble with the hot tubs and all that stuff, I think.
Okay.
So he basically comes out and says that the reason the Packers are losing is because of the, how do you put it, the...
Prima donna.
Prima donna, that's right. The prima donna nature and personality of one Aaron Rodgers. So now everybody's coming down on Aaron Rodgers. So Winston Moss, a coach on that staff, tweeted...
Mm-hmm. Yep, I know that. I saw the tweet.
Oh, yes. You did? Okay, so you did, though.
Yeah, I did know, yeah.
All right, do you want me to read it?
It was a sharp left turn from where we were going, but go ahead.
I can only talk so much of potential Met trades and baseball potential trades. Right, I get it, I know.
So Packer assistant coaches fits right in there.
Yes. Because I thought it was significant, because I thought one of the biggest stories of the NFL this week was the fact that the Green Bay Packers fired a head coach in the middle of the season.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
And now a thought on quantum gravity.
Yeah, please, Eddie.
Anyway, he wrote, ponder this. What championship teams have is great leadership, period. It's not the offensive guru trend. It's not the safe trend. Find somebody that's going to hold number 12 and everybody in this building to a Lombardi standard, period. Losing sucks.
And then he got fired.
Yep.
And they fired him because of Twitter. How about that? They called him in and said, can't call out the quarterback on Twitter. You numbskull.
Seems like it's open season on Aaron Rodgers.
You are fired, you numbskull.
Right.
How are you going to criticize this guy on Twitter? Well, you nuts.
Prima donna.
Getting a paycheck from us.
Right.
Nut job. And get out of here.
Do you think it's easier to criticize Aaron Rodgers because he doesn't get along with his family? and it's very public.
I think it's all part of it. I think the whole thing is part of it. We had this discussion on Inside the NFL last night. They probably fired Mike McCarthy not because Aaron Rodgers went into Mark Murphy's office or the GM's office and said, get rid of this guy. That's not what happened. I think they got rid of Mike McCarthy because of the way the team is playing and the way that Aaron Rodgers has been playing for the last 5 weeks. And then when you combine that with some of Aaron Rodgers' public comments after the games in these press conferences, it leads you to believe that he stopped listening. And if you're going to give him the amount of money that you're paying him, you better get him more interested in playing and looking less listless. And that's why I think they fired Mike McCarthy. But he didn't go in and demand that. You know, there's a disconnect somewhere within the media thinking that, oh, they don't get along and he went in and you wanted him fired. That's not the way it works. The performance on the field is what tells you whether or not a team should be fired. Kind of like what happened to McAdoo here.
Sure, absolutely.
So, yeah. I mean, Eli Manning did not go into the Mara family and say, get rid of, you know, Ben McAdoo.
No, but it was clear that they needed to do something at that point.
But Eli Manning's play had something to do with it.
Yeah, and the rest of the team, too.
Yeah, then the defense falling apart after paying all that money to all those guys.
Guys quitting mid-game and all sorts
and
of weird stuff.
And not showing up and all this other crap. Yeah. Right. By the way, it looks like Landon Collins is going to be done for the season.
I know. It's too bad. That really is. Especially when you're talking about a guy looking for a contract, too. That is right. That is rough timing for him, who's a guy who plays really, really hard and cares deeply about playing well.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.